The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my hosts as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to Season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Misspelling with Tori Spelling, an iHeartRadio podcast.
So where we left off at storage, which, as you know, I got royally screwed. Amy helped me save two lockers, open the two lockers. You know, you roll the dice and sometimes you crap out. So not the right two lockers. So the other lockers, yeah, they've cut the locks. But I have till May 1st to get the other two paid, and then I can go in and get everything out, which is good news because we're finally moving. Yay. And yeah, and then I can get everything else out of storage. We didn't find the wardrobe, so, you know, the wardrobe's all there. Oh, you know what I did find is a shit ton of Spanx. Like, I am so happy to report 5 babies. I finally lost the baby weight. Yes, Bo, 7. And I don't need Spanx anymore. Sorry, Spanx. You know I love you. Supported you for a long time. But I'm moving on. I'm not kidding, you guys. There were times, you can ask Jenny Garth this because she's had to do it many times in a stall. I used to wear like 4 pairs of Spanx at once. No one knew how I did it. Like, it was crazy. You look great. But then, you know, trying to pee, that's a whole other story. Spanx, like, it's a misconception. You never know what you're going to get. Like, I always had that fear. Like, oh my gosh. I'm not going to lie. Like, I had moments, you know, where I was like, hey, if I'm ever single, what would happen? Because you're like selling a concept that's not what you get. So like, you know, take all 4 of those Spanx out and you're just like off and you're like, ugh, roll out. Actually, but I had 5 C-sections, you guys. So I have to go on record and brag for a second that my OBGYN says that I have the lady parts of a 14-year-old because it's intact. And I didn't do 5 C-sections on purpose. That's always like my standby that I have to say that. Because I feel like in Hollywood, they're like, oh yeah, actresses, they just all get C-sections. If anyone out there has had a C-section, you know that it's not easy. They're like slicing and dicing through your stomach, through your muscles. Like, I'll never forget, like, the first time it happened, it was an emergency C-section. Like, I wanted to push you guys. I wanted to be that girl that, you know, was like, I used to do that. I'm not kidding. Okay, so I used to be addicted to soap operas. And growing up, my nanny that raised me, because obviously I was raised very different than the life I lead and the way I raised my kids. But I had a nanny that I called Nanny because I didn't know. I thought that was her name. I'm not kidding. Her name was Margaret. But she was like a mother figure to me. And actually my daughter Hattie, her middle name is Margaret, named after my nanny because we were family, but, yeah, she would call them her stories. So I was watching soap operas, like literally since I like came out of the womb, like, you know, So I would watch the stories, and then my nanny said she would find me in the playroom with my stuffed animals, and I'd be like, "You got this, push, push." And I'd be like, "Oh, it's a beautiful baby
bear."
Like, it was, yeah. So since 5 years old, I was like, I want to have a baby. I want to push out a baby. Anyway. Oh, can I clarify something, you guys? I did make a remark in one of the episodes that I was saying I haven't pooped alone in 18 years. And it's like the game of telephone. By the time it got picked up in the press and got translated to the press and was all over online, it says, Tori Spelling, I'm not kidding, forces kids to watch her poop. You guys, I'm offended by that. I make them watch me pee as well. It's not just poop. So I'm just kidding. Like, that was kind of shaming because I was like, no. They missed the whole point of the story. Every mother out there knows when you have kids, like, there's no boundaries. They will tell you privacy. I need privacy. Like, it's the first thing out of their mouths. But when you're going to the bathroom, they have a million questions for you. They stare at you. And it's just like, okay. So, no, I do not make my kids come into the bathroom and watch me. I don't believe in locking doors because if my kids need me or anything, so it never fails. Bo, like, my other ones don't come in anymore, but when they're young, they come in, and he's 7 and he still walks in, and I'm like, okay, dude, like, you always ask me for privacy, give me privacy. So that's all I meant. So yeah, what was my point here? Oh, that I never have to wear Spanx again, but those I found in storage. Yeah, so that's the storage update. But we still have a couple more weeks, right?
Tori, you have a long history with storage, don't you? In all the years I've known you, I feel like there's been a storage struggle at one point or another. And one even led to a yard sale, if I'm not mistaken.
So, I mean, storage is part of my history. I grew up, my mom had storage units. So, like, I grew up knowing that world, that, like, oh, you know, everything gets put into a storage unit. So when I, you know, moved out on my own, I moved out when I was 19, 18, got my own apartment. And yeah, from then on, I started collecting. And then everything went into a storage unit at the same place my mom had a storage unit. So I don't know how many she had, but I'm not kidding. Wait, you guys, this is a big one. I, at one point, you saw that little, like, storage unit. I'm talking a place, a massive place called Wetzel & Sons. They're still around. Look them up. They're like the big guns. That's who the fancy people go to. And you have like shipping containers. Like, I don't know. It was like crazy. And they roll them out. And I had at one point 50 of them. Do the math on that. Yeah, 50 units. Anyway, that was wild. And at one point, we had an estate sale. It wasn't a yard sale, Ruthann.
Estate sale, yard sale. You say potato, whatever.
Don't say baked potato. Mm. Yeah. So when Dean and I first got together, and we did Tori and Dean, and we were moving, and we moved to a B&B that we were running. And I was like, okay, I got to be honest. Poor Dean, like, for 18 years, he's been trying to say, like, let's get you pared down. It's stuff. There's stuff everywhere. So, in all fairness. And, yeah, we had an estate sale that we did televised. So, you know, when you're in high school and people have open parties and there's a flyer that goes out and, like, all different high schools, it's like, oh, it's going to be the, you know, Friday, Saturday night, this address. And you would, like, roll up. And I did that once at my parents' house. This is not the 56,000 square foot house. It was a 12,000 square foot house. So yeah, I put out a flyer because my friends were like, oh, this sounds like a good idea. And you have the biggest house. I was like, cool. I'll just tell, because I was in drama club. I was a thespian. So it was after one of my school plays. And I was like, oh, I'll just tell my mom that we're having, like, a cast and crew get together back at the house. Meanwhile, we put an open flyer and distributed them to like all the public schools in LA. So a massive amount of people, we didn't think anyone would show. And like a massive amount of people came in and we were in our projection room. I know this doesn't sound normal. Sorry. Let me set the stage. It was a massive living room. And my mother had a screen that this is like, nowadays you wouldn't do this. You would just like, but at the time we had to have like a projectionist come and they would film movies at my house every weekend. And literally like the weekend that movies were released, my dad had his projectionist, Benny, from ABC, come out on Saturday night. Every Saturday night, we would have two movies, one for the kids at 5 p.m. and then one for my parents and like their friends at 8 p.m. That I would sneak into and like watch from like the sidelines, wanting to like see the adult movies. Yeah. So anyway, projection room, there were paintings that would like go up and then the projection room would be behind it and they would roll like everything from behind there, like an old school movie theater. And a screen would literally, my mom would push a button and it would come out of the carpet like, ha-ha, and just rise. And people would be like, whoa, you had me at that. Like, no one even cared. My friends would come over. They're like, we don't care about a movie. Like, we're just impressed that this is like a huge movie screen the size of a theater would come out. Okay. But anyway, just setting the stage, projection away, screen away. It was just the living room, just the living room. And we had all these people. And my mom tells this story that she was like, you know what? And my mom was super cool during like in high school. My friends always came back to my house. My mom always would stay up with us and like hang out. My dad and like they were super cool. It was always the house to go to. But she was like, you know, it was a high school party. And at one point when they had cleared out our bar and I had to literally, because my mom used to have like big crystal like trays everywhere filled with candy. That was her thing, like all over the tables. And my friends would all come over and be like, bah, 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 eat all the candy. And they'd be like, how do you not eat all this? I'm like, I don't know, because it's never like put away. Like it's not hidden from me. And so I raised my kids, everything in moderation. No, I raised my kids because we can't afford it. But moderation, I say. Yeah. So she was like, they cleared out the bar. They were carrying away all the, you know, crystal with all the candy. And she goes, and then I saw one woman and she was carrying a baby that was hanging off her boob and she was guzzling a bottle of really expensive tequila. And I was like, I am so sorry, but I think it's time for you guys to leave. So security had to show everybody out. Why did I tell that story? Oh, I was setting the stage that we used to have storage units. Yeah. So I had massive amounts of storage units. We tried to do an estate sale. Of course.
But why did you have to do an estate sale, Tori?
I don't remember. Why did I have to do an estate sale, Ruthann?
Maybe.
Who are the mystery voices behind misspelling? This is Ruthann, who is my manager, but also my best friend and started as my agent 25 years ago.
Yep.
Yep. 25 years ago, we've done rescue work together. We've produced together. We've done everything together. And somehow I talked her back into now being into this madness. So here we go. But she knows me better than anyone. So she's been on this wild ride with these stories. So when someone pipes in, you hear, she knows what she's talking about. And then Lorraine, my producer, is here. Hi, Lorraine.
Shout out.
Lorraine has the most beautiful voice, and she says she doesn't want her voice heard because she doesn't think she has a beautiful voice, but she does. I'm just saying it. We like to hear your voice. Okay. Anyway, I did an estate sale. Okay, I know what you want me to say. I did an estate sale because I was probably broke again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little bit of a theme of the having the storage spaces and not being able to pay the bills and.
In all fairness, that was like a wildly expensive storage space. And it was just, yeah, That was
well,
a
it wasn't
crazy
just one storage space. That
no,
was
it was
very
50
expensive.
Units. It was 50 of them. And yeah. And at one point when I couldn't pay it, at one point in my life, this isn't a running theme at all. I had a bill, you guys, that, you know, because they had just like we'd done small payments and it was adding up. And then it just catches up with you if you don't pay it. Yeah, I had an outstanding bill of $80,000. So they auctioned it all off. They took it all, but they were really kind at Wetzel & Sons, and they sent me my personal memorabilia and my stuff from my childhood and my dad and stuff. So I got that back, which, duh, I promptly put into a new storage unit, which are these that I can't now pay for. Cool. Anyway, I think it's time for another estate sale, right?
I think that's a great idea.
That's a great idea. No one calls them that anymore, right? What do
you
call them
now? That's what they're called.
Well, you'd have to have an estate to do an estate sale. Airbnb sale. Can I do a BOGO? Fire sale? We'll do a promo code and we'll have an estate sale, but we have to have a location to do an estate sale, which in all fairness, I did ask my friend Karen at Storage, who is the property manager at my particular storage. And there's one at each one. And she is amazing. Shout out to Karen with a Y. And you guys, she's an animal lover. She's clearly a storage lover. And she's been a super patient and kind human through this process. So yeah, I did ask her. I said, could I do like an estate sale, yard sale? When I looked out public street sale, like in front of the storage, and she was like, I don't think you can do that. And I was like, damn. Okay. So we could do a parking lot somewhere. No.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Okay, you guys, So I had a little incident the other day, and I have 6 stitches here. I feel super proud. I haven't had stitches since the parrot bit me in the nose in the 90s. Ooh, that's a whole other story. We'll save that one. Anyway, I fainted the other night, and this is the second time in months that I've fainted. And the first time I fainted was in August, and I had been working all day. I'd been filming for a new TV show, and I got home. I most likely was dehydrated because I hate water and don't drink water. It's a problem. Yeah, my friends tell me like my 30s would have looked completely different if I had drank water, but in my 40s and now my 50s. But yeah, I'd been working all day, and I went to bed that night, got up in the morning to let the dogs out because they were, you know, when your dogs jump on your face and they're licking and they're like, need to go pee. So I walked from the bed to the sliding glass door, opened it up, let the dogs out. And that's the last thing I remember. And I passed out and I fainted. I fell straight backwards, hit my head, like knocked out. And that's how I remember just coming to. And my daughter Stella was screaming and she was like, Mom. And I was like, oh my God, what happened? And then the room was spinning and I'm like tough, real tough, you guys. High pain tolerance, like we'll get through anything. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not okay. Like everything's spinning. It was bad. And she had to call 911 and the ambulance had to come and take me to the hospital, which I was at the hospital for 3 days because they were concerned. They were like, okay, you're 50, but like, why did you pass out? What is the problem? It's either, you know, it's heart related, it's neurological, like there's something going on. So they did all these tests. And anyway, I got out after 3 days, but paparazzi caught me coming out of the hospital, which I think might have been my fault. I think I might have posted on stories I was in the hospital, which I guess is not the right thing to do. So they got me coming out of the hospital, but then it was all over online, like Tori Spelling in hospital for like mystery illness or like, what was she having done? It's like, of course, like with me, everyone talks so much smack about how much plastic surgery when it's like, I haven't. And it's like, this is my face, which is really unnerving. Or maybe they just think I look really good now. That can't be it. Okay, so I never explained it because you can't make a comment. And, you know, I just let them think like, oh, whatever happened to me. That's what happened to me. So I fainted then. That was August 17th, 2023. And then three nights ago, it happened again. This time I fell forward. I got a concussion that time, by the way. This time I fell straight forward and yeah, split my chin open, which my poor daughter, Stella, like God bless her. All my kids were concerned. But ever since that first time happened, she's just always really nervous that I'm going to pass out again. And she says anytime she hears like any kind of thunk and we have dogs and, you know, she hears something downstairs, she's like, oh my God, comes running down. She thinks it's me. And then her worst nightmare happened because she heard a thunk upstairs and she ran down and it was me this time again. So, she said I was literally laying on the ground. I didn't move from where it happened. And I was like, I go, hey babe, I go, I think I broke my jaw. And she was like, Mom, and she was like, what do I do? And I was like, I was really calm about it. I was like, can you just call someone? I think I broke my jaw and I need to go to the hospital. So it was past midnight. So she tried all my friends, couldn't get a hold of people, couldn't get a hold of anyone. She tried Dean, but it was like after midnight to try to come get me. And she's like, I couldn't get anyone, Mom. I was so scared. She was like, because it makes me feel like, oh my God, an emergency is like, here we are alone. This is the second time this is happening. And so she called 911, which she said they like kept transferring her. And she was like, my mom fell. She split her chin open. It's really bad. It's gushing blood everywhere. Can you come? And they were like, we have to transfer you to another line. This isn't the right department. I was like, right department? She's like, mom, they transferred me 3 times. She's like, God forbid it was something really bad. Wouldn't have made it. Then the ambulance came and went to the wrong address. And they could see the lights at like the street above us, where I'm pointing to right now, which you can't see. And literally they could see the ambulance had gone to the wrong address, which is the street behind us. So my son had to run up the street and tell them like, no, come down here. So they came, and last time this happened, Stella, who is 15, they asked, how old are you? And she said, 15. They said, you can't go with her. So I went alone. This is in August. And this time, they didn't ask any questions. She said, can I come with her? And they said, yes. She got in the ambulance, and she goes, mom, thank God I got in the ambulance with you, because your blood pressure had dropped to 77. They said it was like plummeting, like low blood sugar. You had passed out and like split your chin open. They had to give you an IV very quickly. But the ambulance driver says, oh, I know who you are. You're that star. Hey, do you have any intel on P. Diddy? And she goes, and mom, you were about to answer. And I go, mom, funny thing is, I don't have any intel. I don't even know what I was going to say. That would have been interesting. Then he proceeds to say like, oh, okay. And he turns to her and he's like, you got any intel? You're from a Hollywood family. And she was like, no. And here's the funny part is he then goes, leans down to me and he goes, how's your dad doing? And Stella said, she jumps in. She goes, no, her dad. Dead. And he goes, oh, sorry. How's your mother doing? And I don't know. I just feel like super inappropriate. And you know me, I'm a talker. So you start asking me questions. If someone's not there to stop me, I'll just like, oh, okay. Yeah. Cause I want to make everyone happy and just be like, sure. Okay. I'll talk. So yeah. Thank goodness she was in the ambulance. We went to the hospital. They sewed me up. They did a CT scan. And like nothing was broken. Pretty sure I have a concussion though, because it's still spinning. But yeah, they sewed me up, 6 stitches. I wish I had been a little more coherent, because I'm not gonna lie, like I always believe in taking lemons and making lemonade, or like lemonade mimosa or something. Yeah. And I believe that, you know, in the moment, if I had been coherent, I would have been like, oh, this is a great area. While you're sewing this up, can you just make it a little tighter? Make it a little tighter. For all the plastic surgery people think I've had and have not had, like, damn, like starting to get a little something here, just like tighten it up. But I wasn't thinking straight. And then the next day I said to Stella, wait, I call her Buggy. I go, Bugs, oh my God, in the ER? Like someone just stitched me up. It's on my face. We should have asked for a plastic surgeon. And she goes, mom, she goes, we were in the ER. It was like an emergency. She goes, it was open so far that when you tried to talk, I could see right through it. The whole thing was opening. It was like, bom, bom, bom. Anyway. Yeah. So I have 6 stitches. So I was probably completely dehydrated. You guys, I'm not proud of this. I mean, oh, but I like being different, but I'm like an anomaly. Like I'm like a succulent or a cactus. What's the one I'm like something you never have to hydrate, but yet it still lives.
Barely.
Considering that, I don't know. I'm not thirsty. Like I never crave liquids. I don't sweat. Like you can ask any of my friends. I don't even create body odor. Like it was a thing. Like in my 20s, like all the guys on set would be like, oh, smell Tori's pits. Like she doesn't smell like ever. She doesn't wear deodorant. Wait, this doesn't sound right. Yeah, 90s, different time. Anyway, we were all super close. But yeah, it was like, yeah, 90s, different time. Anyway. We were all super close, but yeah, it was like a party trick. And the only time in my entire life I ever got BO, and it only happened on the left pit, is anytime I got pregnant. So I would know I was pregnant when I was like, do I smell something? I'd be like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. Like it would be one pit and like a dash of BO and then it'd go away. Anyway, my point is I don't sweat. I am not thirsty. I don't know if I'm human.
Well, you obviously are human.
Because I bleed, right. Well, I gush you bleed blood from here, so.
And you pass out when you haven't had enough water.
I prefer if you say wilt, because I'm likening myself to a plant at this point. I feel like I get sick when I drink water. And I've said this before. I think, one, I might have an allergy to liquids or water. Listen, it's my story. I'm sticking to it. Or I think somewhere we all have this version of self-sabotage. And like somewhere deep down, I think it's some weird control thing that my life sometimes feels so out of control and everyone else controls my narrative and what's happening that, you know, it's the version when people, I hate to say this, but have things that, you know, they do to themselves that are harmful. And I think perhaps me not drinking water subconsciously is a form of self-sabotage and doing that. But I also think maybe I might have drowned in a past life or something. Or poisoned. I was definitely poisoned.
I'm going to go with self-sabotage.
Yeah, or that. Anyway, I've tried it all. This pushes me over the edge. Oh, have you tried lemon in your water? Yeah. Have you tried like flavor packets or like putting real fruit in your water? Listen, motherfuckers, I've tried it all. I fucking hate water. So the only things I do drink are Diet Dr. Pepper and ginger ale. But I shift them depending on what's going on in my life. No joke. So when my life is just, you know, baseline Tory chaos, Diet Dr. Pepper, it's my jam. Dr. Pepper's the best. I love it. It's been my thing forever. But I actually like diet. Like, it's, I'm not doing it to be like, ooh, I'm drinking diet. Like, I actually just like the flavor better than regular Dr. Pepper. But when I'm having like crisis in Tory life, I do ginger ale. That's my comfort. My point is water. Water's never going to happen. So what's next? Yeah, my blood pressure was low. I needed sugar, I guess. I do probably need to drink liquids and eat on a more regular basis. I'm a snacker, not a mealer. I make meals for kids, not myself. I'm a mom. Like, I don't sit down ever and, like, eat a meal. I've been doing this forever. Like, it's so funny. Like, we're all so scared to admit something that everyone's admitted. But it's like, this takes me back, by the way. Remember, like, way before COVID, you guys, there was the swine flu. Remember that? Like, H1N1. Yeah, I was one of the first people to get H1N1. Like, you had only seen it on the news. And they were like, swine flu hits. And people were like, what? What's happening? And like, it was during like COVID, everyone's like, oh, hey, I have COVID. But like during that time, and it was a different era, literally. But like, it just like no one talked about it. And I totally remember being, first of all, like it was like quarantine. And I was like in the hospital for 10 days with H1N1. I just had a baby. Stella was like months old. And she's my second. And I was on a floor and they like had hazmat suits and like were coming in. It was just like, I was like, oh my God, sorry. I feel like I keep referencing Gwyneth Paltrow. She's one of my faves. What was the movie with Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow? Contagion. So I had only seen Contagion. I was like, whoa, what's happening? So super scary. And anyway, but it was something no one talked about. So my whole point is, yeah, I did Mounjaro And everyone admits it now. It's a different time. So I don't feel like shamed saying that. I couldn't lose the baby weight. And I thought women, when they said they can't lose baby weight, I was lucky enough that with four of my babies, I lost the baby weight afterwards. And really fortunate because I don't work out and I hate drinking water. So God bless. Mom, thanks for my jeans, mom and dad. I literally mean that pair of Chanel jeans my mom gave me in 1994. I still have them and they're amazing. Oh, shoot. Reminder myself, Ruthann, I have to get those out of storage before I lose them. They're in the second locker. Anyway, I couldn't lose the weight and my normal body weight my whole life. Like, I didn't diet. I just was born. My parents both thin. Like, I was born with really good genes and I was probably, you know, like at my heaviest, 120, I would say, my entire life. And after Beau, I was 160 and I couldn't lose the weight. And the doctor was like, well, it's an age thing. And then, yeah, I had him naturally at 44 years old. So I was on the older side of being a mom. And couldn't lose the weight from 160. And I did try to work out and the weight wouldn't come off. I did it properly too. I would eat protein. You know, I did every intermittent fasting, whatever anyone told me to do that was like safe, I did. And it just wasn't working. So I went to my doctor and I had to get hormones because I was at that age and, you know, going into menopause and my hormones were like depleted, like literally at zero. I had no estrogen, no progesterone and zero testosterone, like, which is not great because we need that for energy and other things. So, yeah. So I got those pellets, which women get for hormones. I think men get them, too. Thanks to that, I have a few chin hairs that grow here. That's pretty. And now I have stitch hairs. They look like hairs, you guys. They're total stitches hanging out. But in between here, there's some witch hairs. And then she put me simultaneously with the hormones on Mounjaro. And I'm no longer on it, but I did lose weight. And yeah, I haven't been on it since end of January.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
There's a funny story I want to tell.
Wait, are you going to talk about the oil pills where we shit our pants?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes, but not if you don't want
to. You were totally about to tell that story.
Yep, I was.
Proceed.
I remember there was a time when I was trying to lose weight and I was your agent at the time. And you said to me, oh my God, my friend turned me on to this medication that's over the counter and you can eat whatever you want. And it just dissolves the fat. And there's no side effects. And I was like, oh my God, let me get my hands on some of that. And it was, you could just buy it anywhere.
Over the counter, you guys. But my friend had told me about it. And it became like a fad amongst my friends. I'd be like, hey, to anyone, everyone. It was like party talk. Like, hey, you look great. Oh, you have to try this new thing. It takes out whatever you eat, the fat from your meal. So all my friends and I would be like, oh, cool. And I turned Ruth Ann onto it. And what it did is it we have to look it up, but it takes the fat out of the food you're eating. So the fatter the food you're eating, like if you're eating something deep fried, it will remove all that oil and friedness and it comes out. And the oil just comes out and it's like orange oil. And you couldn't control it. That was the side effect. I think that's probably why they don't even have it anymore, because people are probably like, what the hell? But literally, I mean, men, women, I had friends across the country literally oil staining their pants. Ruthanne, do you want to tell your story?
Well, my story is basically, I had to stop wearing white pants while I was taking it, because you just never knew when you were going to dissolve some fat.
Right. And it would just leak out.
Yeah.
It was leak. Yeah. I had a friend in New York and she was like huge in the PR fashion world. And it was that freaking fashion week in New York. And she was with a client and she had white pants on. And she called me and she was like, you motherfucker. And I go, what? She goes, hello. She goes, I was just in a business meeting and all of a sudden orange oil liquid is saturating the back of my pants through my white pants. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm so sorry. That's a side effect. And I guess I forgot to tell you that. Because honestly, when it started happening, I was like, is it me? Is it me? But it was like really cool. Like you would look into the toilet afterwards and you just see like oil floating. Like, you know, when you mix oil and vinegar and it like the oil just like sits on top. It was that. They still sell it?
Yeah, but it's under a different name now. Don't ask me why I know down. That. I don't know if it still has that side effect.
The slogan should be only after Labor Day. Right. Like, seriously, you cannot wear white. Like it's, I mean, as I said before, like I stopped wearing white in public, but like you really couldn't do anything. Like, I remember, so I was married one time before Dean, just for 1 year. And my fiance at the time, like, Dean and I were very open about everything. Like, we would talk about everything. My first husband, like, there was no talk of farts or poop or, like, bathroom shut. Like, it never was a thing. Which, you know, clearly, I wasn't his girl because, you know, I was throwing the P-bomb at first time we all went out with his friends at drinks. And he's like, I don't feel comfortable that any, you know, girl I'm going to be with says the word pussy. And I was like, huh? What? So, yeah. But anyway, when we got engaged, he took me to a really nice hotel. We got engaged and it was Shutters in Santa Monica. And I was super excited and obviously a little too excited because I was feeling a little comfortable. And I sat on the bed and I was like, oh, everything's great. And then the bellman was like bringing our stuff up and he had asked me to marry him. And then we were staying the night here and my friends were coming and there were rose petals everywhere. And it was lovely. Fluffy white sheets that, you know, were thousands of dollars and European. And I was sitting on the bed and I was like, that felt like a little something. I don't know what that was. And then I like slowly like moved and looked down and on these beautiful white sheets on the comforter. And we just got engaged and there were rose petals. There was a big orange stain. And I was like, oh, shit. Literally. Wait. What do I do? What do I do? So, yeah, that was an interesting conversation. So everyone naturally assumes, like, if you are on a weight loss injection medication, that it's Ozempic, because I think that was the first one that was a known thing. I actually, in all fairness, my doctor did. I tried Ozempic, and it didn't work for me. I didn't lose any weight. So then she switched me to Mounjaro. And it's so funny. I don't know. My doctor was telling me like Mounjaro. I was like, I hadn't heard of Mounjaro. So when she switched me to Mounjaro, I was like, oh, I don't know Mounjaro. I've just heard of Ozempic. And she was like, oh, it's like the fancy one. I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, I don't know. Like, where do you currently live? And I was like, Woodland Hills. She was like, oh, perfect. It's like Ozempic's Woodland Hills and Mounjaro is like Beverly Hills. And I was like, oh, cool. So, yeah. So I went on Mounjaro, which I'm just going to say did do the trick. And I did lose weight and I did go off of it because I didn't want to lose too much weight. And trust me, when you guys all were saying out there like, oh, you look too thin. I mean, first of all, I never got below the weight I was always, like back in 90210 days. That's my exact weight. But maybe I did. I was super like it was the thing. Like, I love my butt. Like, my butt's always been one of my favorite assets. Assets. Sorry, if you have to punctuate it, you told the joke wrong. But there you go. But yeah, that's like one of my favorite parts of my body. And it was interesting because when I gained weight after baby, I got a butt, which I had always had a good butt, but I got like a big butt. And then people are like, oh, you're curvy. You're like Jessica Rabbit. Oh, and I was like, oh, okay, okay. You know, people always have to liken you to something because it can't just be you. And like, oh, I'm voluptuous. Ooh, I like this. And I was like trying to go with it, even though four pairs of Spanx at a time. Not completely embracing it, trying to be on board. But I remember my kid being like, oh, hey, like, big butts are in now, like, thanks to Kim K. So, like, mom, you're on trend now. And I was like, cool, but I always missed, like, my usual butt. Well, now they call it the Ozempic butt, but I guess I'm the Mounjaro butt. Like, it just, like, it goes away. And now I miss my butt. I mean, I'm happy with my weight, but, yeah, I did go off of it because I had hit my ideal weight and then I felt like I didn't want to get any thinner. So I feel like I'm good right now and I'm happy with my weight. But when I was on Mounjaro, you still want a little privacy, even though I'm telling the world right now I was on Mounjaro. But at the time I was like that shame of like, no one wants to discuss it, you know. So I just got to say Mounjaro, good packaging, because I'm going to tell you right now, when you try to rip that box up, so you get a box and you get four injections. You do one a week and that's a month's supply. And you administer it to yourself. It's like an EpiPen. It's foolproof. Like, yeah, even I could do it. And the packaging is so good that I have this thing because, you know, we currently live on the street. No, that didn't come out right. No one's shocked. Everyone's like, uh-huh. Look on the corner. I'll be the one with five dogs, a cat, two ferrets, and a chicken. Five kids. Me. Nope.
I'm just kidding. I no longer have all those animals. They're in storage. Someone help get them out. We only have 2 weeks left. I'm worried the cockroaches there are going to eat them. Sorry. But anyway, I've seen the stories where people, when it's on a public street, go through people's celebrities' trash. And it was like, well, you put the trash cans on the street when it's trash day. It's public property. So I was so paranoid because our current house, our Airbnb, is on the street. And, you know, just like everyone else, trash day, the night before, I've pushed the trash cans down there. I was so paranoid people were going to go through my trash and be like, oh, Monjaro. That was like, I got to rip the box up. Monjaro places their name, not just on one side, not just on two sides, on every single side, 5 times. So it took me like 30 minutes. I was like ripping, ripping. And I was like, oh, just when I thought I'd reached the bottom of it, there was another little teeny little thing that said Monjaro. So I was like shredding. I was like, I need a shredder here. And I was like, wow, good packaging. Cause you can't dispose of that. Anyway, don't check my trash. You'll find a lot of empty Wendy's bags. And no water bottles.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my hosts as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to Season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.